Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. A lot has been asked of small businesses during this pandemic. A lot of responsibility for enforcing the rules has fallen not on police or politicians, but to frontline workers in the hospitality industry, many of whom aren't in a position to be an asshole to their customers. It's hard, and it's not fair. At Rebellion Brewing, we've had longtime friends and fans tell us they're never going to drink our beer again just because we asked them to wear a mask. That stings. But one brewery from Bedford, Virginia isn't taking shit from anyone. Today I'm sitting down with Emily Sanfratella, the VP of Operations from Beals Brewery, to talk about their newest beer, a sassy takedown of an entitled customer. Let's get into it. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How's it going?
It's going great. We have had kind of a whirlwind of a week here ever since we released that post on, I think it was Friday afternoon. Totally crazy response, and I never thought I would be sitting on a podcast talking to people from Canada about our beer in tiny little Bedford, Virginia. So it's been a hell of a week.
Let's start from the beginning. Tell me a little bit about Beals.
Yeah, so Beals is located in little tiny Bedford, Virginia. We're up in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia and opened up in 2017. And we are a tap room. We actually serve really amazing barbecue. And then we also distribute our beer around Virginia and DC.
Nice. When we're talking size of brew tanks, like, how big are you guys? Is it like teeny tiny micro craft or regional?
Yeah, so we have a 30 barrel system. So we are rapidly growing production, but we're only statewide currently, which is unfortunate because everyone is asking us, can you ship this beer to California? Or somebody asked me about Australia. And I'm like, no, sorry. We just don't have the ability to do that. But we're a small regional brewery.
I know how COVID affects us in Saskatchewan and Canada for us and our brewery. How has it impacted Beals?
Yeah, so, you know, just about a year ago to the day, we had to close our tap room. And in Virginia, that lasted for about 8 weeks. So during that time, we were takeout only. Could not do in-house service, which our tap room represents about 80% of our total sales. So that was a very, very significant blow for us. And so those were really scary days. Those were crazy days. Sales reps became delivery drivers. We started a home delivery service all around Virginia and did that. Our taproom employees became brew house employees, and they started working on the packaging line and building boxes and getting orders ready for shipment. So those were kind of crazy days for us, as they were for everybody. But then as the summer shifted, you know, we are very fortunate that we have a really nice outdoor space. So we were able to again open up outdoors at first, and then finally the taproom reopened with a limited capacity. But we actually were really fortunate in that our taproom sales by the third quarter had returned to where they were pre-pandemic. And we actually closed the year out not actually losing any money, which was kind of mind-blowing. But we fought really hard for that, and we worked harder than ever before. But it's all sort of, I guess, working out for us at the moment.
When you say to me, as a business, 80% of your profits like vanished overnight. When I saw our numbers, it was like a huge kick in the teeth.
Yeah. And
running right into summer, which is beer drinking season, It's like, here, we're going to kick you during the hardest time to take profit loss. Because you're in the winter months when it's colder, it's a little bit leaner. And then it leads me to think, how did your customers respond? Did they support you, or were they a little just trying to stay at home and very concerned?
Yeah, it definitely changed over time. like you said, the winter months are leaner for us, and we always expect spring to be this big sort of takeoff season for us. And so we were watching our sales numbers year over year, and we had had a relatively strong January and February, and we were feeling like, man, this is our year. 2020 is our year. It's going to be great. And then suddenly one day to have your entire operation disrupted and to not make any sales was horrifying. I mean, that's you immediately go to worst case scenario and you wonder, how long can we string this thing out? How many people can we keep on and for how long? It's a really, really scary place to be in. And we are fortunate, like I said, that we were able to resume outdoor dining. We were able to do takeout. We started doing things like family meals and offering like, hey, let's feed your family of four. Let's get you a six pack. Let's get you some barbecue. You know, and just trying to figure out any sort of way that we could eke out any sort of revenue. But those are some really, really terrible, scary times. But fortunately, by the summertime, we were able to start kind of slowly building out of that. And I think we became known regionally as a safe place for people to go. So we're in a pretty conservative part of Virginia. There's a pretty, I would say the majority of people in our surrounding area are more right-leaning, and with that comes some skepticism about the virus, some skepticism about mask wearing, and so a lot of businesses around us just kind of ignored the mask mandate and ignored a lot of the social distancing rules that were put in place by the state, and we actually followed all those to a T. And I think it sort of became known in the community, oh, well, if you don't want to wear a mask, you know, I don't know if Beals is for you. But we were willing to take that stand, and we were, you know, thinking about our employees' safety and well-being first and foremost, and let the chips fall where they may. But it actually, I think, ultimately resulted in additional business, because anyone who was like skeptical about going out to eat or nervous about coming out knew that we were taking it seriously, and that when they came, they would have a good experience.
I think it's a scary proposition if you have COVID run through your brew team and suddenly you can't brew beer.
Oh, yeah.
So you're trying to rationalize to customers, hey, please wear a mask and follow the rules, because we don't want our team to get sick and then we can't even brew beer.
Right. The scary thing is if you just have one employee either get exposed or get sick, it's not just that one employee that has to sit out. Here, the rule is anyone who's in close contact, which is defined as 15 minutes, not consolidated minutes, but just 15 minutes over a 24-hour period. If they've been within 6 feet of someone else, that employee also has to sit out until the quarantine period is over. So if you have one person in the front of house either get exposed or get sick, you're talking about taking out the rest of the front of house team. And who do you have left to operate? You know, and you're maybe out of business for 7 to 10 days, even if no one actually has the virus, just the exposure alone could put you out for that amount of time. So we were taking it extremely seriously and still are.
So tell me the story about your, I guess, most famous beer.
So we actually should go back in time a little bit, because this is the third beer in what we're calling our Troll the Troll series. And so this all comes back to, I think the original post was maybe from July or August. And we posted what we thought was a fairly innocent photo of a few of our employees standing around this chalkboard sign that said, please don't make us ask, wear a mask, because constantly people are coming up to the door, coming in unmasked. We'd have this almost like standoff at the host stand where the host would be standing there kind of like, what are you doing walking in without that mask? And then we've got to go through this whole discussion. So we're just trying to get ahead of it by letting people know, hey, if you're going to come here, this is how it's going to run. These are the expectations, just so that everyone knows. And what happened was this post, which we thought was very straightforward and non-controversial, elicited a lot of really negative, nasty comments. And so you had people saying things like, you know, your workers look inhuman with those things on their faces. Or somebody wrote, I predict that with this, you'll be closed by Christmas with the way you guys are operating. Just nonsense, lots of nonsense. And I should clarify, the vast majority of our customers and fans are delightful, lovely people who have had nothing but nice, positive things to say throughout this entire experience. But I think for any business, there is this small but very vocal minority of really, and I'm not even going to call them customers because who knows? They're probably just internet trolls who live in their parents' basement. But you get that. And so instead of just letting these comments slide by, I personally have, I think for better or for worse, a very petty, almost sometimes vindictive nature, which tends to get the better of me. But, you know, I wanted to weaponize it maybe for good. And so we started screenshotting these comments and saving them because there were so many gems in there. It was amazing. So I'm like, you know what? These people have made these public statements. We're going to print them on a can. So we worked with a graphic designer to illustrate this can. He took this idea. Somebody called a sheeple. Like, what does a sheeple even look like? So he designed this like sheep human hybrid mutant creature and put a mask on it. And then we took some of the best comments, best slash worst comments, and posted them verbatim on the can with the names of the people attached. So that was our initial can. And that was super fun. And we got featured on Worst Beer Blog, which was always a personal goal of mine to hit that account. And so after that, we followed up with Closed by Christmas, and that was based on the comment of the guy who said, well, we predict you'll be closed by Christmas. So we released it right before Christmas and said, you know, if you're drinking this, you know that fortunately this guy's prediction did not come true. And then fast forward a couple months, we had this encounter in the tap room. Brittany Canterbury, who is our tap room manager, was working that day. She's working every day. And this guy came in unmasked. This is maybe, you know, 9 months into the pandemic. So no surprises. Should have known what to expect. Walked in not wearing a mask. And at that point, we kind of knew if you're walking in unmasked, you're kind of like jonesing for the conflict. So our policy has always been to politely ask them, hey, do you have a mask you could put on or would you like one of ours? We actually supply them and give them away. And this guy just lit into her, lit into the hostess, just started yelling, cursing. You know, we're like, thanks, bye, you can leave. But then he, after he left, he called us back on the phone, just yelling, cursing out the person who answered the phone. And then a couple hours later, this mysterious email pops up. We have a hello at Beals Beer email, which goes to a handful of people on our team. I'm one of them. And it said, y'all suck was the subject line. And then the entire message was, y'all suck. Your beer tastes like hot old OJ and your manager is bitch. And I was like, thank you, troll gods. Like, this is the comment we've been waiting for. Why any grown adult would feel the need to send a wacky email like that is beyond me. But, you know, it's interesting. We knew that wasn't a standalone experience. We knew that that was actually something that happens pretty frequently in terms of customers just having really disproportionate reactions to very basic things. And it's been really beautiful, actually, in the wake of all of this to see how many people in the industry have stood up and said, this happened to me. I have had this experience. I know this experience. And so to see people say, like, thank you for standing up for us. Thank you for acknowledging it has been incredibly beautiful. And what started as a very simple, kind of silly, petty thing that we were doing just to kind of have a laugh and try to make fun of what was a bad situation really turned into something that I think is really beautiful and speaks to the entire service industry, not just Beals. It's not really about Beals. It's about everybody who's in this thing.
One of the things I kind of was reflecting on as you told this story is I think it's brave of a business to kind of take shots at people, especially in hospitality. We're told, hey, be nice. You're trying to sell a product. You don't want to alienate anyone. What's the thinking or how did you build a culture where it's okay to have fun with or mess with your trolls?
Yeah, I think there's a firm line between treating people with respect and dignity. And then there's also on the other side of that line, a place where we're not going to negotiate with assholes, right? And I think there's been, unfortunately, this misconception in the hospitality industry, which is the customer is always right. We try to please the customer. We're not an asshole business. We actually care deeply about people having a great experience when they come in. But the customer can often be wrong. And you have to decide at what point do you say that's no longer okay. And for me, the line is verbally abusing our staff. That's not acceptable. And for the customer to think for a second that because they're spending their money at our business, that they have the ability to come in and treat us however they want, I would much rather lose that business. I don't want their money. And I've actually had, unfortunately, I have the bad tendency of engaging with all the emails that come in. I can't let them go. I should just archive them. I should maybe just delete. So I don't even want to archive. I should just straight up delete them. But I don't. I take the time to read and try to respond to everything that comes in. And there's been this resounding theme over time where customers will say, well, I came in and you guys told me how to wear a mask. And, you know, your manager, like, wouldn't let it go. And I told her, you know, this is my right. And, you know, I'm never going to come back to your business. You're never getting my dollars again. I'm telling all my friends. I'm like, please tell them. If they're like you, we don't want them here. We're not here to be abused, you know? So I think it is a little bit counterintuitive, but I think the people who are going to come in and treat our staff like crap are also the people who aren't going to tip well. They're going to be the people who just come in and complain and are negative and nasty. And ultimately, I would much rather have customers who are supportive of our staff. And you don't have to come in and give us a 5-star review. I don't need everyone to be my best friend or be our advocate out in the world. If you just want to come in and have a beer and leave and never say a word, that's absolutely fine. If you're going to come in and be a total dick, go away. We don't want you.
I think it probably speaks to loyalty from the staff. They must feel really supported. And then, you know, hey, we got each other's back. We're an actual team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that shows when you see the service that you receive at Beals, we've got a staff that's really excited to be there and engaged, and they're happy generally. And it doesn't mean that every day we come in and everything's amazing and rainbows and sunshine all the time. But I think for people to know that their employer has their back at the end of the day is a really big deal. And ultimately it's a better thing for everybody. It's a better thing for the customer because they're going to be interacting with employees who are going to be tenured. We've got a lot of folks who have been there since we opened in 2017, and to be in the same company for 4 years in the restaurant industry is pretty rare, you know, but we've been able to retain a lot of our staff, which means our staff is really knowledgeable about our products and they're going to give you great service when you come in.
That sounds like a huge edge for any business, especially in hospitality.
Yeah, my hope is that for people who are hearing about this beer release and seeing what we're doing, if you are supportive of your staff, everything else is going to fall into place for you ultimately. We truly believe that. And we believe that when COVID happened, you know, we had a million thoughts on our minds and we're scared and figuring out so much on the fly. But we knew ultimately that we would benefit if we kept everyone on our team. And so when that happened, we made a really hard stand to say, we're going to keep everyone on the payroll for as long as we possibly can. And we did. We didn't have to lay anyone off. We were able to find everyone all kinds of random roles. And so you'd had people doing beer deliveries and you'd have people, you know, working on the bottling line or helping out in the brew house and cleaning kegs and doing all kinds of stuff. But ultimately we were able to reopen and be super successful when that happened because we kept everyone on our staff and it really paid off.
That makes me feel so good. Yeah, that's craft beer. That's what we're about.
Yeah.
When you talk about, pivoting, I kind of want to circle back to the beer. You need to pivot quickly. What is your lead time for brewing, producing a label, getting it, you know, back and forth to designer? Because for us, it's like a 3 to 5 month process. And we kind of plan out, you know, in January just to make sure we're ready for December. And it sounds like your timelines are much tighter.
I think we have amazing partners. And I'm just laughing thinking about our label maker, because every time we send them a label, we're like, hey, guys, What's the turnaround time right now? And can we speed that up by like 2 weeks? Because we are kind of flying by the seat of our pants a lot. But this beer for us, I think, took about 2 months to turn out. So you know, there's a lot of coordination on the back end, making sure that the style that we're brewing is something that can be cranked out pretty quickly. It's not going to be a barrel aged thing. It's not going to be a lager. It's going to be something you can just kind of get in and out. And this beer illustration, actually, we worked with an employee who she's actually a school teacher by day, server by night, and then graphic designer on the side. And so we were able to actually produce that beer illustration, the label illustration, in-house with our own team. And so it is a lot of coordination on the back end, but if we're really motivated about something, we could probably turn it out in 4 to 6 weeks.
That's so fast.
I mean, it's spinning. It's a little insane, but somehow we're still here.
So you launch this, it feels like a grassroots marketing campaign. You get this beer out the door and it's at the taproom and on shelves in Virginia. How have fans responded? How are people reacting?
95% of it has been overwhelmingly supportive. I did get an email from a guy who said, "You're not a bitch. You guys are just whiny, compliant lemmings." And I was like, "Well, thank you. That's less sexist." So I appreciate that. I think that's a minor improvement. But it really has been awesome. And we are getting emails from people literally all over the world, and to hear people's stories and say, "Hey, this really touched me. This is an experience I've had." We got an email yesterday from this lady who works in Missouri at a Dollar General as a cashier. And she said, "Every day I come to work, everyone wants to fight with me about putting on a mask when they come in the store. And I just want to tell them I didn't make the rules. I'm just trying to keep my job and stay safe, you know?" And for her to be in Missouri, seeing this beer illustration and feeling like she's been heard and seen is so validating. And I'm so excited about the way that it's been motivational for our staff too. You know, Brittany has been on the front lines this entire pandemic. She's the one that's dealing with almost every single nasty and negative customer. So for her to see the outpouring of support and people writing in and say, "Oh, I remember BC. She was my server when you guys first opened up, and she's so genuine and awesome." So for her to get that sort of validation after months of essentially being shit on by customers has been so encouraging. And it really has been something that we never could have seen coming, but it's been awesome.
I think of one of our taproom servers, Jasmine. She, you know, maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. She's tiny, but she's fierce. And people, I think, feel safer messing with her than if I come up, I'm 200 and some pounds, and I'm just like, "Excuse me, can I help you?" When they're being shitty. And they tune in, right? They stop being jerks. But I think they feel more entitled to talk smack to a young woman.
Yeah.
And we're not having it. You know, we'll speed bag you out the door.
Yeah, I think there's a sexism element to it as well. I think that bullies are non-discriminate and they'll certainly pick on men as well. But I think there's something about a young female manager that especially makes bullies feel empowered to say nasty things. And that's one of the things that I think has been cool in all of this, is to actually be able to call that out and let other women and women in craft beer, you know, are a rarity. And I think the more attention we can call to women in the industry feeling supported is really important.
I dig it. One of our brewmasters is a woman.
That's awesome. We just
finished launching the Pink Boots beer. I don't know if you know about the Pink Boots initiative, but through that, we'll be donating $10,000 to our local YWCA.
That's awesome.
We've actually lent a couple of our delivery trucks to help women move out of scary situations into shelters. When I hear you sharing your thoughts and ideas, I just see the parallels, and I'm like, there's so much in common in craft beer culture, whether it's in Canada or the United States. I just love it. I'm like, the next time I get to, like, my wife's an American girl. She's from Wisconsin. We go all the time. But I've made her promise that we're going to go to Washington, D.C. because I'm a big political nerd. I want to go tour the Capitol. I want to see it all. But now I'm like, I have to go to Beals in Virginia and make a little detour. We'll just add it to our itinerary the next when the borders open.
Yes, can we hang out post-COVID? We can do like a cross-cultural tour, and we'll bring our team to Canada, and you guys come down here. That would be amazing.
Absolutely. We have a campaign going right now called Experience Regina, which is based on a song some American kids wrote, and it just, the whole song is just Experience Regina. That's the city we live in. It's a funny name, so we're just trying to have fun with it. I would be happy to bring you a couple shirts.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
What's next for Beals?
Well, we are collecting a lot of really salty comments at the moment. there may be a fourth installment of this Troll the Troll series. We were talking before we released this. We were like, maybe this will be the end. You know, we'll kind of see, like, as this series kind of wound its way down, it feels like maybe not. It feels like there might be another label or two that we can squeeze out of this. But we actually, because of this just started, we are applying for our shipping license in the state of Virginia. So a lot of people across the state saying, hey, can you ship me this beer? We can't ship it out of state. It's just a total nightmare, but we can do it in Virginia. So that's a small thing that's coming. And we're actually opening up a new tap room this summer. So we are opening up in Yorktown, Virginia, little coastal area right outside of Williamsburg. And so that building is under construction right now, and we hope to open up in late summer.
That's awesome. Emily, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Rebels, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm going to include links to Beals Brewing so you can find all about their beer, Your Manager Is Bitch. It's really funny. Check them out on Instagram. I love their sense of humor. I'm also proud to let you know that we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province. You can find them at thesaskpodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in Sask craft beer news. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.